Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm about to make you guys part of the conversation. Hey guys, thank you for downloading. Thank you guys for listening to, and thank you for most importantly sharing Culture and Conversations. Up next on Culture and Conversations, this is the first conversation of the year that I'm releasing, and it is an old familiar voice. Cinnamon Key of Jamila Wellness stops by to touch on the things that have been happening with her practice, especially during the time of COVID-19, and also talk a little bit about what has happened with the podcast Culture and Conversations over the past couple of years since the last time she was on the show. This conversation is coming up next on Culture and Conversations. Yes, Culture and Conversations is officially back. I hope you guys have been doing well. I hope everybody is in a good place. Thank you once again for downloading another episode of Culture and Conversations. I have been really, secluded a little bit. I've been caught up in the malaise that has come with COVID-19. And I just haven't felt like sharing and recording and scheduling and doing the extra work that comes with having a podcast. And I'm not, obviously I'm not quitting podcasting, but I'm just being honest about why Culture and Conversations, as of the statistics that I saw for my end of year wrap up from my host provider for the podcast, said that I only released 20 episodes. And I think even some of those probably were, small bites episodes. So it has just been a year. 2020 was a year that just was difficult in a lot of ways, but also in a lot of good ways too. The year definitely wasn't all bad. I found myself in a brand new relationship. Hold on, I'm no longer a single man. And I'm very happy about that relationship, and I'm taking it day by day. But there has been a lot of just time that relationship has taken where I have to nurture it and spend the time present in the relationship. And as a result, a lot of my spare time that I had to just create and build and schedule interview guests and do all the things that come with having a podcast, I just haven't been focused on that as much. I've been doing a lot of cooking, a lot of, dinner dates at home, and it's just been a welcome distraction, but my podcast definitely has not been the focus, and so we want to try to fix that. I've got some goals, some pretty lofty content goals for this year in terms of what I want to schedule and produce and put out into the world, and so this is going to, in earnest, pick up this year. And we're going to make up for the deficit of episodes from last year. And we're going to give it a shot. And one way I'm going to do that is by reaching out and reconnecting with some former guests. And I'm so happy to have had the opportunity to speak with Cinnamon Key of Jamila Wellness. Cinnamon is a supporter of the show. She's a friend of the podcast. And it was good to catch up with Cinnamon. First and foremost, because Cinnamon has a wonderful personality for podcasting. She has her own podcast that you guys can check out. I'm linking to that podcast in the show notes. And it's just her own voice, sharing content with the world from her perspective as a counselor. And we talk about what has happened to her business, her practice as a counselor, because of COVID-19 and how, it has impacted her business and created opportunities for her to continue to expand her practice. Unfortunately, because people find themselves needing to take care of themselves and their mental health, and this time that we find ourselves living in is taxing on people's mental health. So we have great conversation, and Cinnamon is wonderful as usual. And I think you guys are going to enjoy us catching up a bit and seeing exactly what's happened to the podcast and to her practice since she's been on the show. Up next on Culture and Conversations, my conversation with the wonderful, the beautiful, the gracious Cinnamon Key. Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I have on the phone an old familiar voice, Cinnamon Key of Jamila Wellness. Cinnamon and I have decided to do a bit of a catch-up show since her last appearance on the Culture and Conversations podcast. And Cinnamon has been really instrumental in helping me grow my guest appearance database, where I've got people popping in onto the show because of her reference. So let's welcome back to the conversation, Cinnamon Key. Cinnamon, how are you doing?
I am great, Jameson, and happy to be back.
Appreciate that, man. Let me clap it up for you at return, a return guest of the podcast. And so, you know, we have definitely kept in touch since the show. And I will say that first and foremost, thank you so much for your support of the platform. It's a lot of media and content out here being produced from people who are content creators such as ourselves. And so anytime somebody can make a few minutes, or in your case, you've made, you know, the commitment to, you know, being a subscriber of the podcast. And then also you've been on the group chat and our video stream that we do weekly, and you popped in as a caller and, you know, just let me, you know, continue to take advantage of the relationship we have. And I just want to thank you before I get too far into the conversation for just being such a good supporter of Culture and Conversations.
Oh, thank you. I meant what I said from the beginning when I said that I support what you do. So if I meet people and I'm like, hey, you know what? You would be a great person to go on the show. I'm not going to, you know, keep them to myself, even though I have a podcast. But there's some people that I think fit the conversation, shameless plug, of your podcast. I think a little bit better than mine. And so I have no problem making that connection.
Well, I appreciate that. I talk to everybody about pretty much anything. So that kind of gives me the flexibility to have whatever conversation I think will best serve the audience. And, you know, you do have a podcast. Shout out your podcast before we get too far into this episode.
It's called the Naturally Cinnamon Podcast, and it can be found on all the major platforms. I see Anchor continues to rise as a strong platform, you know, a contender. So I am on Anchor and Apple and Google, which got an email that said Google was going to be going away soon. But either way, you'll be able to find me. Easiest way to find me is go on my website, naturallycinnamon.com, and you'll find the podcast there.
Yeah, I got that same email. They're migrating podcasts over to a different Google podcast platform. So, but yeah, man, Naturally Cinnamon, that's a good podcast. I have listened to episodes of your podcast, and I definitely enjoy, you know, your transparency, your conversation style, some of your, you know, it's a nice mix between advice from a therapeutic standpoint and a counselor standpoint. But then at the same time, you give us a lot of introspection into your life. It's a really good balance that you have with your show.
Oh, thank you. You've just given me the last push I needed for the next season.
Yeah, it is tough, man. You listen to the Culture and Conversations podcast, and I mean, you know that you've experienced the lull that I've been going through personally, and you know, part of the reason I want to have this conversation, you know, aside from just catching up and reintroducing people who may be new to the show to you and your content and your perspective, but also it just helps me to get off the schneid of not recording and get back and start working that muscle of booking guests and, you know, setting up times and getting on the phone and talking to people again. So that's been good. That's been good. Let me ask you this, because since you do listen to the podcast, how do you feel about what Culture and Conversations has become since the last time you were on the show, which was, you know, well over a year ago now?
Yeah, was it 2 years?
I don't even know. It's been a while.
What I love about Culture and Conversations is, and I hope I don't sound too therapist-y in this, but just the topic of culture itself is already a much wider conversation than a lot of people give it credit for. A lot of times people attribute culture to a race or ethnicity, and that is not. Race is race, ethnicity is ethnicity, and then culture is culture. Mm-hmm. And it's different. So to hear a conversation, you have a conversation with so many different people with so many different perspectives, experiences, perceptions of life, based on, you know, what they've went through, what they've been taught, what they've unlearned, and to have that such a wide gamut of that. But the host has his experiences and perceptions and perspectives as well. It's just a very rich conversation, and to see how it has blossomed into what it is, I enjoy it.
Wow, wow, man. I didn't pay you to say that, but, you know, I'm clapping up. I appreciate that. That's big. I need to cut that right there. Note to editor, cut that right there, turn that into commercial, and put that out there into the internets. People have naturally remarked before I started the podcast that, you know, I seem to have a persona that that inspires and stirs up conversation. And, you know, people have asked me in the past, and I explained this on one of the clips that I did early on when I was interviewed by my co-host of the hashtag group chat, Brandy Thomas. We talked about just, you know, that I had this vulnerability that came from doing ministry work where I would take parts of my life and use it as a teaching tool. And, you know, obviously I've done, public speaking in that forum. Also, I'm using my social media to also stir up thought and controversy and perspective and analysis and just critique of the culture. And, you know, you take all of that, you know, you take that social interaction that I'm having with people, and then given my technology background, you take all three of those and put it together, you get Culture in Conversations, which is a podcast that is fairly technical because you have to have your cameras and microphones and audio and computers. And it's just a lot of that stuff, that part of my brain. But that's just a platform for the technology that then goes on to create the stage, if you will, for what we do with the conversation. And it definitely has been interesting to see how it's grown and how it's developed. And, you know, I like the video stream show that we're doing, Culture and Conversations Presents hashtag the group chat. That thing, you know, Cinnamon, it came out of like nowhere. It really was never
meant. It took on a life of its own.
Yes. It was never meant to be anything other than throwaway content where I was going to get on the Facebook's live, you know, platform and stream video episodes of me just essentially talking about things that were a little outside the bounds of what Culture and Conversations, the audio podcast, is. And I was going to give people that just as a way of, one, learning how, for me to learn how to use video streaming on the internet and what was out there and available. But also just giving people that content truly as an incentive for following the social media page for Culture and Conversations. And then, you know, in a matter of weeks, people started saying to me, you need to do two shows. You know, you need to do another show every week, extra show every week. And I'm like, I barely have time and the want to do one show, because it's just throwaway content. It's me sitting around drinking copious amounts of alcohol, talking about some, you know, some innocuous thing that I've read on the internet, and then making random unsubstantiated statements about those articles or about this particular topic that's in the culture, and then playing some music at the beginning and the end and going to bed. Like, that was what that show was supposed to be. And, you know, it went through, you know, a lot of just growth. I mean, it became a full blown thing. And now, so you got two shows, you've got the group chat. Now you've got also Culture and Conversations, the original podcast, audio podcast. And you got two audiences. I got a whole audience who listens to nothing but the podcast, and then I've got a whole audience who does nothing but subscribe and listens to the and watches the video stream, and then you've got, you know, obviously some people in the middle, but it's just it's just one of those things where I'm like, man, where did this come from? And you know, shout out to my co-host Brandy Thomas, man. She has been probably one of my favorite things about the show in terms of where it started and kind of how it grew. And she was an early supporter of the audio podcast as well. And just given her journalism background, it just works really well between us. She's a very strong conversationalist. And you know, on some podcasts and some radio shows, you'll have like an A mic and a B mic. And, you know, Cinnamon, she's like it's like A1 mic and A2 mic with us. Like, she's really, you know, she's really strong. So
she's a strong voice. And I have to say, on behalf of the Chocolate Sisters out here, I appreciate her. And I appreciate you for choosing a female co-host, because oftentimes we can be overlooked by our male counterparts. So the synergy between you two is just so good. It's so good. There are sometimes I'll be listening and I'll be like, I don't think I understand what you mean, Jameson. And then she'll remark, because she understands what you mean, but may think of it a different way. She'll remark and then I'll be like, oh, got it. Okay, I'm following where y'all are going. And I'm like, this is a good synergy. So like I said, I love the trajectory of where things have gone. I'm eager to see what's next up for you, and what do you got? Smallwood Media.
Smallwood Media Productions. Yeah.
I'm there. I told you, I'll be in the background, but I'll be watching.
I see. It was very important to give Brandy an opportunity to be part of the show. And, you know, the show has obviously grown, you know, and that's no shade to Ramon Hingleton, who was a part of the show earlier, you know. Mm-hmm. But the show grew, obviously, to include him. And then I think that it made sense to have a woman be a part of the show. But because of, obviously, the two men and then adding a woman into the mix, she had to be a formidable presence of her own, in her own right. She had to be strong and able to, you know, do the conversational work that needed to be done to represent the female point of view. And I think that, you know, when Brandy was like, she'll do it, I mean, that was like a no-brainer. And, you know, and now with how the show's kind of become reconfigured yet again, where it's down just two hosts, I think we're going to really see the show grow from the conversation standpoint, where it's going to feel much more, it's going to feel much more natural, because you're going to have two people talking, two very strong voices and perspectives. And, you know, we're going to exchange and grow. There are definitely places where me and Brandy align very much in how we see the world, which is cool. But then there's also places where there's going to be opportunities for us both to exchange ideas that maybe we don't necessarily agree on. And I think that's the dynamic that's so cool about culture and conversations, is that you'll see two people who will have very vastly different opinions on some things, but at the same time have that synergy in some areas where it's really important. And then, you know, that gives people a space to fit into the conversation too, with their perspective. And, you know, I think in terms of the aesthetic, when you talk about her being, you know, a chocolate sister, I mean, and for people who listen to the show, we're like, wait, what do you mean when you say a chocolate sister? We're not talking about like, you know, milk chocolate, but we're talking about like dark chocolate, like skin tone, the unapologetically and unambiguous black woman. You know, the one who, when you look at her, you know exactly that she's a black woman. There's no question about, is she mixed with something? Is she, you know, is she, you know, from a different country, or is she like, you know, exotic, quote unquote? It's just, nope, she's a black woman. And there's no, and that's important. I mean, that's an important part of the aesthetic. And I'm very happy, you know, that wasn't even a thought to me, other than she's the best person for what we're trying to do. And, you know, and as far as the platform, it has always been very much pro, you know, black woman. You know, I have always said that black women make some of the best guests that you can ever have on a podcast, because, you know, you guys talk and are very, you know, very adept at talking. So, and not just talking for the sake of hearing your voice, but you are really making great points and bringing out a perspective that oftentimes is overlooked. And I think that's what makes, you know, this podcast so much fun, to be able to do that. So,
So,
let's see, Cinnamon. We've talked about the podcast. You've given me my commercial material. I appreciate that. You know, the shameless plugs. You know, there's no shame in the plugs. You know, one of the things that people need to know about you is that you are a mental health counselor. You have a therapy background, and sometimes, you know, obviously professionally speaking, these things have a little bit different nuance to them, and what the licensure and all that stuff is. But for people to best understand you, you are a counselor, you're a therapist, and you help people, you know, think about what's going on in their life in a way that helps them, you know, become better people and deal with the circumstances of life in a better way. And we're not going to give everybody your whole backstory. They have to go back and listen to your episode where mm-hmm. you were a part of the podcast. But just go look for Jamila Wellness in my show list, and you'll see the episode. And but you know what? I guess what have you seen with COVID-19 going on, and how are people, I guess, responding to it? You know, in their way of coping with the changes that COVID-19 has brought into everybody's life.
Whew. So let me say, I have been busier than ever. Let me say that. And I, like you said, when I appeared on your show before, my company, Jamila Wellness, was still, you know, budding. It was still, you know, fairly new, getting started. But in October of 2019, I went full blast ahead, private practice, full steam ahead, just all systems go. Got an office space, professional office space, and all this other stuff. Listed myself online, did all the things, like, and you know, I even now am set up to bill certain insurances to make sure I can provide services to more clientele. And in October, I was okay. You know, launched in October, I had 0 clients. In November, I think I had 2. Come December, I think I had maybe 5 or 6. January, a few more. Mm-hmm. February, you know, they were just trickling in. But April, oh my God. They were coming from everywhere. I mean, it was so much. And to date, my highest yielding month was June.
Oh,
was
wow.
June. I
wow.
shattered my budget analysis, like the projections shattered from June. Just my annual like goals of the number of clients I wanted to be able to service, done. I was like, okay, COVID, you are doing something to people out here. And so I started paying a lot of attention. The first thing I did, of course, was jump right in and try to help my clients find some sense of normalcy and resiliency as best we could, because who knows how long we were going to be in this, you know, who knows how long this is going to last. So let's get to work.
Mm-hmm.
But the longer I'm in it and the more I'm hearing from more clients, what I started to realize was, there were some clients that reduced the amount of sessions they were having with me because the things that were causing them the anxiety went away.
Oh, wow.
They went away or they greatly decreased. It was either, oh my gosh, okay, I got to get up in the morning. I got to cook breakfast. I got to get the kids ready for school. I got to get, you know, my husband situated, and we all got to get out of the house, and it's a, you know, wake up and go, 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 go. And now I'm at work and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm all this other stuff, but I'm thinking about the fact that I got to make an appointment for little Johnny to go to the dentist, and how's mama doing? Let me make sure mama took her meds, and doing all of this stuff while you're at work. And it's just like thing after thing after thing. And then you go to lunch, you try to breathe for 10 minutes, you know, and you go back to work, you get off work, you're picking the kids up, you're helping them with the homework, you're making sure everybody's not fighting with each other, you're making sure there's food for everybody in the house to eat, you're making sure the house is still clean, everybody's got to get bathed, everybody's got to go, and then you go to bed, and mm-hmm. now you got to be a wife, and then but you're exhausted, and you're trying to pick Cheerios out your hair, and all kinds of stuff is going on, and blah, 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 blah. It's the hustle and the bustle of life.
Mm-hmm.
When everything got quiet, for some people, it was like, I can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it was a blessing. For others, it was like, it is way too quiet. I'm going berserk. So to see the shift in some of my clients was very interesting. It was very interesting to watch. And I was like, okay, the COVID closures were helpful to some people, but were damaging to others. Mm-hmm. And it was just very interesting to watch the progression of how people were coping. But overall, what I seemed to notice was people who were having the hardest time dealing and coping were the people that were dealing with the reduction of options. So if you feel a certain level of anxiety or certain things trigger you to feel certain emotions that you don't want to feel, be it anxiety, be it depression, be it anger, be it frustration, whatever it may be, grief. Let's not talk about the amount of grief that has been going on, and unresolved grief, but I'll get to that in a minute. If you could, okay, you know what? I might go to the beach. I might go to the gym. I might take a walk. I might go out to my favorite restaurant. I might go out to my favorite bar. I might go over to my cousin's house. I might go, you know, the options, the things that you could choose from, the buffet, if you will, of coping mechanisms shrunk completely. The buffet closed. And now, where you would have had 30 options, you got 2.
Yeah.
How many times can you rotate those 2 options over and over again before it's like, screw this, I'm going to the beach. Like, I don't care what the risks are. I can't do this. The reduction of options overall is what I think triggered so many people, because those options were how they were coping with their life, and now they can't cope. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the reduction of options, I think that's going to be the title of the episode, the reduction of options. You know, it's just, that's a real experience. And I know for, you know, my community, one of the communities I'm a part of, my church community, you know, we're seeing that with our church members, you know. You know, we're seeing a lot of the elderly who are, you know, definitely high risk in terms of the complications that COVID can bring about. You know, they're looking for an outlet for the first time in a long time for a lot of their social interaction. Because for a certain generation, you know, church still represents their country club and their social outlet, and they're one of the major communal experiences for their family. And without that, you know, they're all trying to figure it out, like, how are we going to do this? I know people right now who are very big, huge fans of live music and concerts, and no, that's going on right now. You know, you can't go anywhere. And I was a budding, you know, travel enthusiast. You know, I had a chance to go to Miami in February, and that was a fun trip. But then after that, that was the last time I thought about ever going near an airplane, you know. So, I think coping for people, you know, and by coping, we're just talking about how to deal with stress in our life. You know, as a stimulus and as something that we're experiencing. So yeah, I think that's, you know, obviously I think the limiting of options or the loss of options is a very tough thing to deal with. I miss going out to restaurants, and I miss just the sort of casual experience that going to the grocery store is. You know, for me, I love cooking, and going to the grocery store and having a chance to kind of walk the aisles and take my time and look at the ingredients and different, you know, come up with different meal ideas. I can't even do that now because I have to be so in and out and so focused about, you know, watching where I'm walking at and who I'm behind, and, you know, avoiding the kid coughing with no mask on in the store. You know, it is very much a new normal. And so I definitely can respect what you're saying, your experience has been. I mean, but I want to talk about something real quick just before we move on, Cinnamon. You know, just how your practice has benefited from people needing help. And I think that one of the things that if you want to be positive as a listener of the podcast and look at COVID from a perspective that can be somewhat optimistic, is that even with the shift of our normalcy as a result of COVID-19, there are still people who are finding opportunities economically, socially, creatives who are coming up with innovative ways of sharing content and creating content. There's always opportunity. And I think that when you hear about like how your fledgling business has gotten, you know, some stability and some really strong participation from your community because of what's going on with COVID, I mean, I think that's an encouragement to a lot of people that if they look at this as a time where there's opportunity and not just a loss of options, then, you know, they're going to be in a better place if they start putting their mind on, okay, well, how can I use COVID-19 to my advantage instead of what is COVID-19 taking away from me?
You know, what's funny is I started calling it COVID-19, you know, early, and now I refer to her as, I call her, yeah, her, because she came in here with an attitude. So I refer to her as Rona.
Yes, Rona.
I have personified her. I'd be like, you know what, Rona, you get on my nerves. So I have to find humor in things to be able to see things positively. And I almost talk, even with my clients who are having a hard time, because a lot of the clients that came in didn't come in because of Rona, but because of the loss of the coping skills, the coping mechanisms that they were using to deal with whatever was going on in their life anyway. So now they're coming in to talk about, or they're dialing in, so to speak, to talk about those issues that otherwise wasn't being discussed. So that's to me, yeah, the business doing well is good, but the extra positive for me as a therapist is, y'all are finally talking about some stuff you need to talk about. Because you can't distract yourself from the issue anymore. So what a lot of people were using as coping mechanisms were actually, for some people, not for everybody, distractions from dealing with what was actually going on in themselves or in their lives. Now you don't have those distractions anymore. Now what?
Yeah, I have had various conversations with people about coping, and, you know, whether it's in popular discussion, because one of the things that's happened because of the social media accessibility to, you know, one, people creating content and people reading and consuming content is that people are having conversations in a popular space about mental health. And I think that awareness is obviously great because it's bringing to the forefront a topic that many people tend to ignore or tend to feel a stigma about, which is mental health. But it is also, unfortunately, introducing a lot of chatter and noise into the discussions where people are pretending to have the same level of authority and expertise as people such as yourself who studied and went to school and have a practice and, you know, an actual business and help people, you know. So, you know, one of the things I've been very adamant about is that coping is not always a good thing. You know, the idea is to cope in a healthy way where you're using something positive to deal with coping. You know, for me, one of the things I struggle with is that food is a way of coping with stress and with, you know, issues in my life. But you can't use food when you are struggling with your weight. You know, it's not, it, you know, as we say in the group chat, it hits different when those calories come into your body. So, you know, for some people it's food, for some people it's alcohol, for some people it's drugs, but whatever. And then for some people it's a walk and down the, you know, walking a trail. For some people it's going to the golf course. For some people it's just going on their treadmill and walking. So There's a myriad of ways of managing stress and getting away from what's causing you stress. But to your point, if these things are destructive behaviors, it doesn't just because you're coping, that doesn't give it like some kind of moral validation because, oh, well, I'm coping. So this is just how I'm coping. Like, yeah, that's how you're coping, but it's not a good way of coping.
And, it's a distraction disguised as a coping mechanism.
Yes.
It's just a distraction though.
Yes. And in therapy, I realized from going to therapy that, you know, you guys don't necessarily say good or bad per se. You guys say healthy and unhealthy. So for the listeners, whenever I say good or bad, I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective, but the therapists in their nomenclature and in their parlance of helping people, you know, understand themselves, they say healthy and unhealthy. So in some instances that overlaps and intersects perfectly. So that, you know, they can be interchangeable, but you have to make sure you understand the difference when you go to a therapist is that sometimes they'll tell you something is healthy, but it may not align with all your worldviews, which that's not their place to try to align everything with your worldview. you know, but
right.
I try to explain to people, I'm like, hey man, that's not a healthy mechanism that you're pursuing. And if you look at it, it's not really good spiritually either, you know? So, but you know, once again, because it's popularized conversation now, people are able to, you know, throw out a little, you know, blurb on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And now people are taking their cues on social, on mental health from social media, which, isn't the best source of information unless you're following somebody like you, Sentiment on your show or on your podcast or on your Instagram or your social media following. So,
yeah, I always tell people check the credentials.
Yeah, yeah, you got to.
When in doubt, check the credentials. You're like, you know what? Let me see it. Would I hand my car to somebody if I don't think they have a license? I don't know. I need to see it. Show me.
Yeah.
Show me. You know what you're doing with my... No, you can't get the keys to my car if you don't know what you're doing. Show me that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, show me the evidence. Show me your license.
Yeah.
Show me your certification. Show me. Let me see that. We can't, you know, judge a tree by its fruit.
The fruit that it bears.
Yeah. Or its leaves, because maybe it's not a fruit-bearing tree. But if you're producing bad leaves, that's a problem too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's my whole thing is like, you know, I'm an advocate for mental health and going to therapy, because I think it's an overlooked aspect of our lives, and I think also a lot of people have been taught to just suffer, and you know, and also really from a spiritual perspective, going to therapy is a sign of humility. It's a sign that you're willing to listen to somebody else about things going on in your life. And so often we tend not to want to do that. We just want to power through and tough it out. But that's really not the way to reach our goals. Our goals are, our goals for our personal development are so much, are can be so elusive at times, but then they can become so much clearer just by talking to a professional.
The word you used was almost perfect. A lot of people see going to therapy as weakness. But well, a lot of people, let's just call it straight out, a lot of people in the African-American community or people of color community, a lot of people see going to therapy as a sign of weakness. And the word you just used was humility, which I love. Going to therapy embodies a sense of humility, but a lot of people, society, worldly people, see humility as weakness. The root word of the word humility is humble. Being humble, being able to say, "Oh, I don't know what that is." None of us know everything. Not one single solitary one of us, not even Donald Trump, knows everything, although he thinks he does. But anyway, Kanye too. But anyway, we'll go down that road some other day. None of us know everything, not even your therapist. None of us know everything. So being humble to say, I don't know this, that's what going to therapy is. I'm dealing with something and I don't know how to. Can you help me? That's what it means to go to therapy. It doesn't mean I'm a weak individual and I can't figure life out for myself, so I need you to tell me what to do. Wrong. That is not what therapy is. When you use the word humility, I'm like, that is just about a perfect word to describe what it is to come into therapy. To say, it's just saying, I don't know. This is something I don't know.
I know I've seen this in ministry work, you know, that I do. You know, there's a few intersections between, you know, being a minister or somebody who has influence over your way of seeing things through a particular belief system. I'll put it that way, leave it broad and generic. Mm-hmm. And what you typically see is that people, they come seeking sometimes validation for what their decision making is. They come saying, hey, well, this is what I think is right and wrong, and I want somebody outside of me to tell me that I'm right. And oftentimes that sometimes they're right. You know, sometimes you can affirm what they're saying and that, hey, yeah, you're looking at that in a pretty good perspective. But then, you know, what I've discovered also largely is that sometimes people have significant issues and they're mm-hmm. looking for validation, and you have to tell them, like, no, that's not right. Or, hey, you may have this particular moment correct, but there's a much larger nuance that needs to be considered into the way you're seeing the world here. And so going to therapy is a fundamental admission in my, at least as I approached it, that, hey, I need to just shut up and listen. You know, like, and I'm serious. Like, I really need to turn my own voice off right now and let somebody else speak to me and open myself up. And really, not to be too woo-woo or too spiritualized, but there's a healing that comes into your life. I genuinely believe this, as you open yourself up to the voices of others that are credible and trustworthy voices, right? Like you can truly hear, some people would probably describe it as hearing like the voice of God, but you can truly hear the truth if you're willing to silence yourself and listen to people who care about you and have some, have credibility in order to be able to speak to these types of circumstances in your life. And therapy is an opportunity to practice that discipline of silencing the noise coming from within yourself and just being objective and listening and practicing being receptive. Because as we get older in life, we become less receptive because we've experienced more. We have our, you know, value set in place. There's all types of cognitive development stuff that's taking place, and, you know, we're cemented. And so you have to intentionally be receptive. And I think that that's one of the reasons that therapy has been a benefit to me and counseling has been a benefit to me, is because I can be very much stubborn in believing that I'm right. And mm-hmm. I find that, you know, while most people accuse me of that readily, I got news for the people listening. You're like that too. Everybody has that. Everybody's got that in them. So it's not a unique thing that I only carry within me. And I know for me, I want to sit back and just practice listening and practice not being the one to always be right. And uh-huh. and therapy is a great way for me to exercise that particular muscle that I'm trying to develop in myself.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's good. It's therapy serves in different things for different people, and I often ask, I'll often ask my clients, especially the new clients in the first couple of sessions, what is it that you would like to accomplish? What is very interesting is somewhere around the middle, maybe around session 6 or so, they will totally abandon what they said they wanted and grasp onto something that's even deeper. Because I'm like, yeah, more often than not, the reason people come to therapy is not 100% important to me, the therapist. It's not important to many therapists. Why? What brought you here? We're interested in where your head is, so we'll ask. But we almost always know what you think brought you here isn't what actually brought you here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not actually what we're going to deal with. But if that's what got you in the door, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Because sometimes that's the thing, right? Part of the why that you're here, it is important, but you don't have to be always aware or even terribly honest as long as you're here. We can figure out why you're really here after we spend some time together. But initially, I'm just happy that you came. It's kind of like, you know, that's how I am with church. It's like, hey, I'm glad you came. I don't know why you're here, but I'm very much happy that you have arrived here.
And right. Whether it was the music that brought you in the door or your coworker that invited you to family and friends day, doesn't matter. I'm just happy you're here.
Yeah, doesn't matter if it was the fried chicken and mac and cheese down in the basement in the fellowship hall. I'm just glad that you are here. So, Yeah. So let's see, man. We've caught up a bit and talked about just your response to COVID and how it's affected your practice. You know, I guess we, as we wrap up here, Cinnamon, you know, what is it that you're hoping for as we head towards the end of this year? What is your, you know, what are your goals and what would you like to see happen with all things Cinnamon?
Oh, okay. So, let's see, since we last had since our last podcast episode, I have written and published a book.
Okay, wait, let me clap it up. Okay. we got sound effects. I mean, like, that's a big deal, man.
I see.
Yeah, we've upgraded. See. We've upgraded. You got a book out there. What's the name of your book, Cinnamon?
The name of my book is Crying is Allowed.
Oh, man, that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, it is allowed. And in the book, I talk about the different types of tears that we cry, why we think we shouldn't cry, what happens if we don't, what happens to us if we don't.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, I can only imagine the messages that men were given growing up, but I know the messages women were given, don't cry with spilled milk. I think that's a
common one. Yeah.
Right. That's just no gender attached to that one. But I know with girls, we were heard, put your big girl panties on. Don't a man want you crying all the time? Just like things like that. Just, you know, as girls, we were allowed to be emotional because, you know, you're a little girl. So around 4 years old, you know, if I'm crying, it's, oh, no, what's the matter, Cinnamon? Okay, but fast forward to 14, girl, what you crying for?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the things that hurt my feelings before aren't allowed to hurt my feelings anymore.
Wow.
But they hurt. But they do hurt. That does hurt. So now what do? I put a mask on. I create a facade. I pretend.
Mm.
And not only am I pretending to everybody else, I'm pretending to myself. This don't bother me because it can't bother me. It's not supposed to bother me. I'm supposed to be able to whatever. Girl, that man ain't break your heart. Get over him. You got to get over him by getting under a new one. Just keep it moving. No, not allowed to process the fact that my trust has been shattered.
Yep.
My hopes have been thrown out the window. What I wanted for my life is no longer a possibility. I can't grieve that because I'm not supposed to by society standards. So what do? Become the strong black woman, so to speak, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you guys do? Become the quote-unquote angry black man because we're not allowed to cry. We're not allowed to show that this hurt us. We're not allowed to feel embarrassed. We're not allowed to feel rejected. We're not allowed to feel those things. So what do? I, for one, don't believe in none of that crap. You want to feel, if something hurts you, it hurts you.
Yeah.
You feel rejected, you feel rejected. You own it. What is it? What is it that's happening with you right now? Feel that. Cry if you must. And now we can process it. Our brains are wired that when we process information, it goes through the emotional state of our brain first. So you mean to tell me I'm supposed to ignore that yet process it cognitively? Mm-hmm. How do I process that something hurt if I don't allow it to hurt?
No, I agree. How do you work through that? You know, and
right. So. I get so many clients that as they're telling me the quote unquote, what brought them to therapy, why are they here? As they start talking, I hear this phrase so often. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm crying. Because you never let yourself do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of or talk about this topic, I have a box of tissue right there on the table within arm's reach. And I tell them crying is allowed here.
Yeah.
And then because we can't talk about the incident, we can't process it until the emotional aspect of it has been released. Let it out, let it go. So I wrote that book specifically for people who are unsure about going to therapy, probably don't want to go to therapy, still have their reservations for therapy, and for anyone listening, who has a reservation about going to therapy, let me ease your mind with this. None of us, as licensed clinicians, went through all we had to go through to get that license to break the HIPAA law of confidentiality to tell your business. Mm. We are bound by law. You will not hear your business in the streets from us. Yeah. That is a common fear.
Yeah.
I can't tell people, what if they say, I'm not going to lose my license to your little business. Mm-mm. That's not going to happen. Trust it. Trust and believe. Nothing you tell me is so juicy that I have to risk my livelihood. Nothing.
Yeah. And if you think you're that self-important, then you still need to go to therapy and work through that too.
Then we got a few more seconds.
if you out here thinking that what you doing or what's not what you're not doing and who you doing it with and who you're not doing it with is so important that
not even that serious.
You are suffering from delusions of grandeur, and you need to get that looked into as well. So,
yeah. We need a few more sessions just to deal with that. But yes. I just wanted to throw that in there for anybody who was still feeling like, yeah, but no. We don't talk. We are bound by United States law. It doesn't differ state to state. We can't run and tell your business.
No.
That's not how that works.
No. And like I said, I have been to therapy several sessions. Not several sessions, but several times. Let me say it differently. I've been to several therapists. There we go. Until I found the one that I developed a good rapport with. And I think that's what people should be open-minded to is that, hey, just because you went to one therapist and you didn't connect with them or one counselor and didn't connect with them, there's a reason that there are, literally hundreds of professionals oftentimes in your city that are practicing therapists and counselors. That's because it is a personal connection that has to happen in order for you to develop a level of comfort and level of rapport with the therapist in order for them to do their job. And everybody doesn't connect the same. There's cultural differences right. that have to be sometimes factored in. Obviously, sometimes the gender dynamic can have a bearing on what you feel like talking about and who you feel like talking about it with. But ultimately, that's what you have to be committed to is the process of therapy, which sometimes involves going to several different therapists until you find the one that actually can help you and open up and build that connection. And, I'm grateful for the time that I was in therapy. I can't wait to go back and kind of do some tune-ups and talk through a few other issues that I want to talk through, as I progress into the end of 2020. But, for people who are listening, it is always a great thing to talk with someone objectively who doesn't have your particular set of biases, who's not influenced by having a friendship with you and that, hey, if I say something this person doesn't like, then this is going to have lasting consequences on us. You need to have other people sometimes clearly and professionally speak into your life. And I think that's what obviously therapy and counseling can offer you. So
let me read this quote. There was a quote I saw on Facebook and I copied it. It mm-hmm. says, a therapist is like shoes. You need to find the ones that make you feel comfortable, feel good, and construct with confidence. They are out there, but not always created equal. So keep searching.
Nice.
So that
nice.
Goes to like what you were saying.
Yeah, it's all about the fit. It really is. It's all about the fit. So Cinnamon, it was a pleasure catching up with you. Cinnamon, what's your website that people can go and find out more about you and just kind of get to know you and your practice better?
Well, if they want to know more about me, Cinnamon, they can go to naturallycinnamon.com. But to find my practice, the name of it is Jamila Wellness, and you can go to jamilawellness.org.
Cool, man. Cool. Cinnamon, thank you again for being part of this conversation. I appreciate you being so willing to come back onto the show and touch base and catch up with my audience.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank Cinnamon Key for stopping by and being part of the conversation. Be sure to check out Cinnamon's practice and her podcast. All those details are in the show notes so that you guys can see what's been going on with Jamila Wellness. As usual, guys, go over to Facebook and like our page, Culture and Conversations. If you haven't joined our Facebook group, Culture and Conversations Presents, hashtag the group chat, that's where me and my co-host Brandy, we do our weekly live stream show on Facebook and on YouTube called Culture and Conversations Presents. Guess what? Hashtag the group chat. And we talk a lot about what's going on in the news, some politics, cultural happenings, and some of my own personal rants. All that stuff is on Culture and Conversations Presents, hashtag the group chat. And we're on Instagram as well, Culture and Conversations. And we're on YouTube as well, Culture and Conversations. Thank you guys for being a part of the conversations. And I can't wait for you guys to hear the next episode of the show. Peace.